This evening, Genesis chapter number 15, and for quite some time on Sunday evenings, we have been studying through the book of Genesis. Of course, every once in a while, as the Lord would lead, we'll take a diversion and go to another portion of Scripture. And the last time that we were in the book of Genesis, we looked at Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 1. And as we looked at Genesis 15 and verse number 1, I titled the message, A Memorable Greeting. And as we looked at the verse of Scripture and we understand really the context of what had taken place in Genesis chapter number 14, you read the first verse of Genesis 15 and you are encouraged greatly, and you have to come to the conclusion that Abram was encouraged greatly as to hear this these words from the Lord. The Bible says this in verse number 1 of Genesis 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You'll remember that in chapter number 14, there was a coalition of forces that came and they were victorious in their attempt to conquer. And of course, we find that Lot was one that was taken captive, and Abram receives word as to what has taken place. And Abram goes with those men from his own house, his armed trained servants, and he takes them and they pursue after, and God gives victory. And after that victory and after they recover all things, we find that there were two encounters that Abram has. The first was with the king of Salem, Melchizedek. And what a blessing for Abram to have the opportunity to speak with the king of Salem, and how that the meeting, the discussion between Abram and the king of Salem, Melchizedek, prepared Abram for the meeting that he would have with the king of Sodom. And how we mentioned it's so important for us to spend time with the Lord and to be in His Word and to commune with Him, and how that we daily spend time in walking with our God, and He prepares us for the events that we will face in our day. And we see exactly that in Genesis chapter number 14. Remember, it was Melchizedek that said that he was the priest of the Most High God, El Elyon, and it's the first mention of that name of God in all of the Scriptures, that He is the Most High God. He is the possessor of heaven and earth. And what a blessing to see how God would reveal that truth to Abram through that encounter with Melchizedek. And then when Sodom comes, the king of Sodom, excuse me, when he comes and he offers to give some goods to Abram, Abram replies and says, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And we spoke about the significance of that, because the reality is that had he not just met with Melchizedek, the king of Salem, he would have had no knowledge of what he shared in response to the offer of the king of Sodom. It was through that meeting that God revealed this truth about himself, so that Abram would be prepared, adequately prepared, to be able to answer this king of Sodom. Of course, there's the potential, as you look at all that takes place, how that there was the potential for that coalition to regroup and maybe attack again, and so on and so forth. I'm sure they weren't too excited about the fact that Abram came and recovered all, and maybe they'd go back and regroup and devise a new plan, a new strategy on how they would go back. And God appears to Abram and he says, first of all, fear not. There's a lot of fear nots in the Bible. Fear thou not, fear not, be not afraid. And I'm so thankful that God has given us into Abram in this greeting. In verse number 1, he begins by saying, fear not, Abram. You know, God is telling us to not fear. We don't need to be afraid. And we've, of course, finished up our study in the book of Hebrews, and in our previous couple of studies, as we finished the 13th chapter, we were mindful of what we are told in verse number 6, where the Bible says that we might boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Of course, the end of verse number 5, that great promise when the scriptures remind us that our God is ever present. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says to Abram, don't be afraid. Fear not, Abram. And then he gives him two additional truths that are impactful. He says, number one, I am thy shield. We think about a shield, and of course we think about the protection that a shield would offer to an individual, and we think about God Himself. Now you notice in your Bible it says after these things, the word of the Lord, it's all caps, it's Jehovah or Yahweh, His name that is of course revealed throughout the Scriptures, the proper name of God. He's saying to Abram, I am thy shield. I'm so thankful this evening to know that our God gives protection, that He is able to protect, that He is our shield, our buckler. And we find that Abram would be reminded of this truth. And then he says, and thy exceeding great reward. See, Abram was offered some things from Sodom, and he refused those things because he says, I've lift up mine hand, unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, King of Sodom, I don't need what you're offering me. And he's refused that which had been offered. And then God comes and says, I am thy exceeding great reward. I'm so thankful. We sing the song, Now I Belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, right? I mean, what a joy to know Him as our personal Lord and Savior, to understand that He is our exceeding great reward. Listen, there are a lot of people around the world today that are seeking all sorts of things to bring satisfaction, and there are people even within the broad category of Christendom that are looking to find satisfaction through things, but we must understand that God is our exceeding great reward. And really, He's all we need. And we find that He supplies all of our needs. And what a blessing to know the Lord. After we find this interaction that begins in verse number 1, the very beginning of verse number 2 says, and Abram said. And so in the next few verses, we're going to have the opportunity, we will be privileged to read really a discussion that takes place between the Lord God Almighty and Abram. And we find that Abram had been introduced through this greeting with these powerful truths, fear not, I am thy shield, I am thy exceeding great reward. And then Abram responds to the Lord, and we'll be looking this evening at verses 2 through 6 in particular. Notice the Bible says this in verse number 2. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. The title for the message this evening is from verse number 3, where Abram says, to me thou hast given no seed. To me thou hast given no seed. Here in Genesis 15, verses 2 through 6, notice with me, number 1, if you're taking notes, from verses 2 and 3, I find that Abram's perspective is revealed. Abram's perspective is revealed. You know, the reality is that each of us have a perspective on things that we encounter, things that we go through in life, and sometimes, if we would be honest, our perspective is wrong. Sometimes our perspective needs to have some correction. And we'll see that that's the case with Abram here this evening. But Abram reveals his perspective to the Lord, and through this conversation and through the opportunity that we have by it being recorded in the Word of God, we have the privilege of looking at this discussion and really seeing the perspective of this man, Abram. I find this evening that as I look at verses 2 and 3, that Abram is a man that is very transparent with the Lord. Abram is a man that's coming. And he's looking at what's taking place, and we find that he's sharing his heart, he's pouring out his heart and his concern to the Lord. And I think that's important for us to understand this evening. We see it throughout the Psalms when the psalmist is extremely transparent and shares his heart with God. You understand this evening that God knows your heart anyway. But you know, it does something for us when we're just transparent with God and we just share our heart with God. Abram is looking at this situation. He's received some promises. We'll look at it in just a moment. And he's noticing the current situation. And what he does in seeing this perspective being revealed is, number one, he states the problem. The problem is quite obvious. He has no son. He has no heir. He has no son. He says this in verse number 2, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me," notice this, "seeing I go childless." Now, go back, if you will, a few chapters in chapter number 12, and you say, why is Abraham, of course, that's not his name yet, it'll be changed shortly, but why is Abram asking this question? Why is he stating this problem? Why is it that he's saying, what is it that thou wilt give me, seeing I go childless? Why is it that he says, to me thou hast given no seed? Well, because in Genesis chapter number 12, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." No doubt from verse number 2 of Genesis chapter number 12 that Abram would understand that there would be a son, a child that would be given. When God says, "I will bless thee, I will make of thee a great nation." Verse number 7, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." We find that God gives him this promise in verse number 7 of Genesis 12. And he says this, he says, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." Abram builds an altar. He worships the Lord. He responds in proper manner. But yet we find that this promise that is given in verse number 7 of chapter number 12, when we come to chapter 15, Abram saying it's not happened yet. We find that in chapter number 13, look there in verses 15 and 16. It's repeated what we just read in Genesis 12 and verse number 7. Here in Genesis 13 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it," notice the next phrase, "and to thy seed forever." Now, you'll remember with me as we study Genesis chapter number 13 that here is the division between Abram and Lot. Remember, there was some discord, there was some contention, some strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And Abram says, "Listen, this isn't good for us and we need to separate." And he tells Lot, "You know, you go ahead and you pick." And Lot picks and he goes towards Sodom. We see and we understand that. And the Bible tells us that the men there were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And Abram, he took that which was left. He took that land and he had given the option to Lot. And we find here that God then speaks to Abram beginning in verse number 14. And the Lord said unto Abram after that Lot was separated from him, and you notice what he says, that he was going to give him the land and to thy seed forever. Notice what he says in verse number 16. "And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." Do you see why Abram acknowledges a problem? He's been given this promise. In chapter number 12, in verses 1 and 2, in verse number 7, again in chapter number 13, in verses 15 and 16, God has spoken to Abram, and God has told Abram about making of thee a great nation, of you having this land and thy seed, and yet Abram is saying, "I go childless. I don't have a son. There's no seed." And so we have a problem. And we find that Abram, in offering not only the problem, he really begins to offer a solution. We notice in verses 2 and 3 again of chapter 15, notice what he says, and you see his perspective. In verse number 2, he says, "Seeing I go childless," and then notice what he says at the end of verse number 2, "and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." And so what is Abram saying? He's saying, "Listen, God, you've given me this promise. I don't have a seed. I don't have a child. I go childless. And so what about this one that's been born in my house? What about him being the heir? What about that being the solution to the problem? And I look at that and I say, really, if we'd be honest this evening, if we were in Abram's shoes, we might come to the same conclusion. We might come to the same perspective that Abram has. We understand as we go through the scriptures, Abram's not a young man, and he's getting more and more age with each passing day. And he's saying, I don't have a child, I haven't had a child, but God's given me these promises. And as he's noticing, he's analyzing the situation, his perspective is being revealed to us because he knows there's a problem. He says, here's a potential solution. You know what the problem is with his solution? It's the same problem that sometimes we have with our solutions that we offer God. They're by sight and not by faith. It's a sight solution. What do I mean by that? Well, here's one that can fit the bill. I got this one that's been born in mine house, and he can be mine heir. And we offer a solution. And see, again, if we could understand this evening, we could put ourselves into the shoes of Abram, perhaps we too would come to the similar conclusion. We say, Lord, how long do we have to wait for this? Lord, I know you've promised this. You said that you were going to make of me a great nation. You said that this land was going to be not only for me, but for my seed forever. But I go childless. And so, Lord, one born in mine house, he says this in verse number 3, is mine heir. And I believe that it's a sight answer and not a faith answer. So we see, number 1, Abram's perspective revealed. Number 2, if you're taking notes in verses 4 and 5, notice with me God's promise explained. I'm so thankful that our God is clear and precise. I'm so thankful that our God is patient. Aren't you thankful that God's patient with you? The Bible word is long-suffering. And our God is long-suffering. And our God, we could look at a whole host of examples this evening, and we could look at how there are times in our lives even that we could model some of that which is contained within the pages of Scripture, where we kind of don't have the faith that we need to have, and we're not responding in the manner in which we should, and yet our God is long-suffering with us. And you notice in the text of Scripture that God speaks a matter-of-factly. He speaks clear. He explains some things to Abram in the next couple of verses. But you understand that he doesn't, like, reprimand him. And our God is so gracious and so merciful. And here's what God does. Notice in verse number 4, it says this, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir." Now, is that hard to understand this evening? Sometimes we get these kind of things all of the from several different places where people say, well, you know, the Bible's just hard to understand. And the reality is that much of the Bible is extremely easy to understand. And yes, there are some passages that are much more difficult to understand. And that's why I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit of God, who's the author of Scripture, lives within me. And he's the teacher, amen? But the reality is that God comes to Abram and he says, again, when we look at the promise being explained, we find that the Lord came unto him, and God is going to give a clear and precise response to what Abram says. Remember, Abram's identified a problem. He's even offered a solution, but God says, no, this shall not be thine heir. Abram, you have the wrong perspective, and we need to correct that. We need to change that. You need to understand something. This is what God is saying to Abram. And I believe that as we look here at the Scriptures, that God is going to give Abram some truth that Abram would have to then respond to. And I want you to hold on to that thought as we kind of go through the message this evening, because the reality is that God has given us truth that we need to respond to. We've often said, and we've mentioned it throughout the years, that faith is simply taking God at His word, that we believe God. And here, Abram comes and his perspective is revealed, but now God's promise is being explained, and he says this, not only is he going to dismiss the potential solution that Abram has offered, but he's going to once again rehearse with specific details the promise that he's making. Notice what he says. This shall not be thine heir, verse number 4, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Again, isn't that hard to understand? No, it's quite clear, is it not? Abram, I know that you go childless. See, you understand this evening that God knows all things. He's got perfect knowledge. He's omniscient. When Abram comes to God in verse number 2 saying, I go childless, that wasn't a surprise to God. He knew that already. But again, Abram is being transparent with the Lord. He's concerned about this current situation. He's received the promise. He doesn't know how God's going to do all that God said he was going to do. And so he's offering the solution, and God says, no, Abram, that's not the way it's going to work. God says, he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. I'm so thankful for the clarity of God's word, and that God spoke to Abram in very clear language as to what this promise would be. Notice in verse number 5, God then takes, and it says this, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. Now, obviously, as we look at the context of the passage of Scripture that is before us, it was evening time. It was dark. And God says to Abram, look toward heaven and tell the stars. In other words, it means to count the stars. That's what that phraseology means. And tell the stars. Now, I stepped out on the porch this evening before the service to just look up into the heavens. And it's a little bit of an overcast kind of an evening. It's supposed to rain later this evening. But last night it was a pretty clear evening. And Joseph and I were driving home with Carter, my nephew. And they noticed how bright the moon was. It was just about a full moon last night. And it was beautiful. It was clear. And I can't help but think, see, for us this evening, if it were a clear evening as it was last night, you can see a number of stars in the heavens. But have you ever been to a place where there's not as many people and there's not as much light? You can see, and pollution, by the way, another thing that kind of messes with the number of stars you can see. You go out and you see the stars, and it's like, man, I didn't know there were this many stars. Holly and I, almost 10 years ago, we went to Arizona for our anniversary, and I remember that evening, I think it was the first evening we were there, going on a walk, and I was a little bit apprehensive, Pierre. They told me there were rattlesnakes there, and so you're walking at night, and I'm kind of, I'm looking down instead of up, but you just got to a point where you began to look up into the heavens, and it's like, man, you don't see stars like this around the big cities. And God says, now think about when this is being written several thousand years ago, right? Abram is there, and God says, look toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. Have you ever tried to count the stars? There are people that have attempted to do such task. The reality is that they're numberless. The reality this evening is that we're mindful of what God said to us in Genesis, and I love it in Genesis 1 and 16, where the last five words of the verse of Scripture says, he made the stars also. And in making these stars, he made an innumerable host of stars, and he spread them through the heavens and through the galaxies. And we find here this evening that Abram is taken by God, and he leads him out, and he says, Abram, I want you to look toward heaven. And he says, Abram, tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, God is speaking to Abram, and he says unto him, so shall thy seed be. Wow. I mean, when we really begin to look at this promise being explained by God to Abram, and we understand this evening that our God is omnipotent, that our God is able to do all things. And the reality tonight is that because of having the whole canon of Scripture, there's a whole lot that we know about God that Abram has not yet learned about God in this particular text of Scripture. And we've learned names of God that are revealed to Abram after this account. El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. God's not revealed Himself to Abram at this point in that manner. But we have the whole canon of Scripture, so we know that He shortly will do so. And we find that as we look at this book and we look at the promises contained therein, that we stand in awe of who our God is, and we see how that God who has made this promise to Abram, that He explains it to him. He says, Abram, I understand that you're coming with your problem, and I understand that you've even brought a solution, but this one that's born in your house, no, he's not going to be thine heir, because one that comes from your own bowels, he shall be thine heir. He then gives him this wonderful example and this teaching of the stars and the heavens, and he says at the end of the verse, so shall thy seed be. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse number 20 with regard to the promises of God. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. We find that Peter would make this statement that we have been given exceeding great and precious promises. And we have. One of the great hymns of the faith that we sing, Standing on the Promises. And we sing that song, and when we sing it, I hope that our minds are thinking about and aware of the promises that God has given us in His Word, and we find that God has explained some of the promises in detail, such as He has to Abram in this passage of Scripture, and we find that He's given us these promises. We're familiar with various portions of Scripture and how that God, in His grace and His mercy, would work with His people, and He would begin to give them and reveal to them the truth of who He is. And He didn't always explain to them how He would do what He would do, but He simply promised to do it. There are times in which the people of God would hesitate, and they would have some level of doubt and unbelief, and God would come alongside them and begin to prove Himself. And I think this evening of Gideon, and I love the account of Gideon in Judges chapter 6 through 8, and how God would build the faith of Gideon by revealing to him and showing him, yes, you are going to be used of me to bring victory to my people. It's a blessing. And we have this precious book that sits before us, and we have the opportunity to read it and to be encouraged by it. And when we look at the promises of God's Word, and we consider this one tonight to Abram, and we find how God would explain the promise, we ought to rejoice alongside Abram tonight. I find myself thinking, even as I'm turning here to the book of Numbers, and thinking about the scenario in which the Balaam was seeking to curse the nation of Israel. And of course, Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam and all of that. And you find that the Bible says this in verse number 19 of chapter 23 of the book of Numbers, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Can I tell you this evening, and I know that we know this, but God has never failed on one promise that He's ever given. He just never has. And you understand this evening that He never will. There's not one promise that God is not going to fulfill. We can be encouraged this evening as we understand, again, even as we read the Scriptures and study the accounts of God's Word, where we have the privilege many times of knowing the end of the story, so to speak. And we know in just a few chapters that we're going to have the opportunity to read about the birth of Isaac. We understand that God is going to fulfill the promise that He had given to Abram on this particular day, evening, as God would recount these things to Abram. We can read that and we understand that, but Abram was just living life like we are, day by day, moment by moment. And so Abram had, really, I would say it this way, Abram had a decision to make. Chapter 15 begins with a greeting. That's a memorable greeting. We then read of this discussion, if you will, and Abram bringing his concern before the Lord responding to Abram, and now it's up to Abram to respond. It's up to Abram to do something with that which he's just heard. You know, the reality is that just as Abram is here in this text of Scripture, each of us every day when we go to the Word of God, every day that we go to church and hear the preaching of the Word of God, we have a decision to make. What are we going to do with what we've received? What will we do with the message that we heard at church? What will we do with the message that we heard in our youth ministry, in our Sunday school class, in our junior church class? What do we do? I mean, for the children, listen, we're seeking to bring somebody to a place of decision. What do we do with it? Tomorrow morning when you read your Bible, when you get up in the morning and you open up the Word of God and you begin to read what thus saith the Lord, you have a decision to make with regard to what you read. And every day we're faced with those decisions. And Abram is in a similar position that we find ourselves in on a regular basis. And I want you to notice that Abram's perspective is revealed, God's promise is explained, and if you're taking notes in verse number 6, God's promise is embraced. And I'm so thankful for verse number 6, where the Bible says, "And he believed in the Lord." He believed. Remember, we've said, I mentioned it just a few moments ago, that faith is taking God at His word. Faith is believing God. Listen, I don't maybe understand all of how it's going to work. I don't understand how it's all going to come together, but I know that God has repeated and explained this promise in very clear and precise terms, and therefore I have to respond, and my response, Abram's response, is, "I believe God. I just believe." It says this, that he believed in the Lord. He believed in the Lord. I wonder this evening how many times we can go to the Word of God and read of those that did not believe what God told them. Oh, there are many examples. Perhaps this evening we can go to positive examples of others that did believe. They just believed that God would work, that God would show Himself mighty, that God would do what He only could do. I know that I often make the reference to the passage in Acts 27. It's been so impactful in my own life, and I've been so challenged through the declaration of the Apostle Paul when they're in the midst of the terrible storm on the sea, and all hope that they would be saved is gone, and they've not seen the stars, and I mean, they just were wishing for the day, and there's just no hope. But God sent an angel to speak, and the Lord gave Paul truth with regard to their deliverance. And Paul simply declares to those other individuals that are on that boat, "I believe God, that it shall be as it's been told to me." And we just come to that place in our lives, as Abram does, where he embraces the promise. I believe this evening that this first half of verse number 6 is a powerful statement of Scripture. I believe that this first statement of Genesis 15 and verse number 6 not only is a powerful statement of Scripture, but it's a powerful testimony of Abram. That Abram believed God. That he just, I mean, he hears what God says. Remember, it begins with this perspective of, I go childless. I mean, I don't have any seed. I don't have a son. And God, what are you going to do? How are you going to do this one that's been born in mine house? And he says, here's what I'm going to do. Here's my promise. And Abram believes in the Lord. He takes God at his word. And it says this, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Wow, what a powerful truth of the Word of God. And as we look at this statement at the end of Genesis 15 and verse number 6, our minds will race to the New Testament in which this particular truth is referenced on at least two occasions. And I want you to think about what God is saying here. We see the faith of Abram where he believed in the Lord, but then we see the response of that, the way in which God would respond. It says that he counted it to him for righteousness. Go over to the book of Romans, if you will. In Romans chapter number 4, look at the first three verses of Romans chapter number 4. The Bible says this in verse number 1 of Romans 4, "What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." Now, it's interesting when you read verse number 2 there and you consider it with the truth that God gives us in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, and verse number 8 in particular, in verse number 9 in particular, where the Bible says, "Lest any man should boast." Because the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." What is he saying by that? Well, if I could work my way to heaven, I have whereof to glory, to boast. And so in verse number 2 of Romans 4, here's what Paul is saying to these believers. He says, if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. What is he meaning? Well, he did enough good things to get to heaven. But you understand, you can't do enough good things to get to heaven. Because the Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, not by works of righteousness which we have done. In Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 5, we just looked at Ephesians 2, 8, 9. The Bible is abundantly clear that salvation is by grace through faith alone. Paul says later in the book of Galatians, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Listen, his death was not vain. His death was absolutely essential and required to pay for your sin and my sin and the sin of the world. Why? Because your works can't do it, and the law, keeping of the law, can't do it. He says in verse number 3, "For what saith the Scripture?" By the way, it's always good to go to the Scripture. Amen? You understand some of the things that were going on in the first century. Jesus dealt with it often with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and those religious leaders. What about the tradition? What do men say? What do you do? And how is this? No, what does the Scripture say? You do err not knowing the Scripture. And we find that the appeal is given to these believers in the book of Romans. And Paul says this, "For what saith the Scripture?" Notice what it says. "Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Now, that's exactly the passage that we've been looking at this evening in Genesis 15, verses 2 through 6, in particular, zeroing in on verse number 6. Abram believed in the Lord, and he counted it unto him for righteousness. And we see here that Paul knew the Old Testament. He goes back to the Old Testament. He references the Old Testament. He says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." In other words, if you could work to get your way to heaven, you're earning something. But no, it's of grace. Verse 5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." We could really look at the entirety of Romans chapter number 4. We don't have time this evening to do that. We could continue to go through and just see how Paul is using with great wisdom the truth of the Old Testament to prove these truths with regard to salvation and righteousness being by faith, not by works. Go over to the book of Galatians, if you will, in chapter number 3. Notice another reference to this same portion of Scripture that we're looking at in Genesis 15 this evening. We'd find it in Galatians chapter number 3. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 6. Galatians 3 and verse number 6. Even as Abraham, what's it say? Believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Oftentimes we speak about the imputed righteousness of our God, and I'm so thankful for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians in chapter number 5. And we find here that the Bible speaking about this event, Genesis 15 and verse number 6, as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Notice that as we continue to kind of pick our way through the third chapter of the book of Galatians, that the Bible says this in verse number 8. Let's read verse 7 with it. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So we get to look at the entirety of this promise that is made in Genesis chapter number 15. We find the fulfillment with the land, and we've talked about that in previous messages, but now we think about the seed, and we'll find that as we study the New Testament, that yes, there's the truth of Isaac being born, the promised son, and what a blessing and all that would be entailed in that, but the fullness of the blessing and the fullness of the promise is the fact that we are children of, that have trusted Christ, we by faith are looked at as being the children of Abraham. And it says in verse number 8, and the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. You understand that heathen there really is dealing with Gentiles. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Look down, if you will, for sake of time, to verse number 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made, were the promises made. Notice what it says here in verse number 16. And he saith not, and to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, notice these last three verses, which is Christ. See, the messianic line, we talk about that often, and we look at the book of Genesis, and we've just developed the truth that God is giving us all the way in Genesis chapter number 3 about the fact that Messiah would come, and the truth of the messianic line, and how that the enemy, Satan, and you can study not only the book of Genesis, but throughout the Old Testament, how that the enemy sought to destroy the line so that Messiah would not be able to come, but our God is greater. And here we find that as God is giving this instruction to Abram, and He's giving this promise to Abram, He's saying, in thy seed. And we understand in the New Testament that thy seed, which is Christ. Now, we understand that it would be thousands of years later before that would come to its fullness in the promise, but the immediate fulfillment would be in the birth of Isaac. And from there, you go through the line of Messiah, and eventually you can read, of course, in the New Testament, you can read about the genealogies and all of those things, and what a tremendous blessing it is to understand that. And we find that the Bible says, says that he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. I'm so thankful that God's promise was embraced by Abram. And we understand the account of Abram. In fact, we'll finish up chapter 15 and then get into chapter 16, and we notice there's some really some sad events that are recorded for us in Genesis chapter number 16, and we'll look through those things and we'll see all that's taking place. But we rejoice this evening in what the Bible tells us about him, Abram, responding to what God had given him and explained to him. So my question this evening, as we look at the fullness of this, and we really see not only the immediate, but of course, as we see where it says, "So shall thy seed be," and how he told him, "In the if thou can tell the stars, that they'll be able to number them," and he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And we see the, of course, the many descendants of Abraham. But then we think about the truth of the New Testament there in the book of Galatians with believers being of the seed of Abraham. I mean, that number just grows exponentially at that point. And we begin to see how that God has fulfilled that which he has promised to do. Listen, Christ came just as it had been prophesied. This evening, we see a specific event in the life of Abram. We see a specific promise. We see a specific situation. I wonder tonight, maybe there's been some promise that God has given you in his word that maybe you've struggled with. Maybe there's been a measure of doubt. Maybe there's been a measure of uncertainty. Maybe there's been some unbelief, if you will. Where you've read the promise, you've seen what God says in his word, but there's just some difficulty with you being able to see how it's going to come to fruition. And you've struggled and you've dealt with some difficulties. And I would submit to you this evening, if you're in that position and you know that there's some promises that God has given in his word and you're just struggling with it, we're all human beings. We understand that the children of Israel, when Moses sent those spies, they came back and they didn't believe God. Amen? Those 10 spies, they brought back an evil report and they persuaded the entire congregation of the nation of Israel to doubt what God said that God would do. And we find that God would speak to Moses, and he would say, "How long will it be ere my people believe me?" You understand this evening that God wants us to believe him. And he says this in that same conversation with Moses. He says, "For all the signs which I have showed among them." What of this evening, when we look at this book and we study it and we read it and we see all the promises and the fulfillments and the way our God works and what he does, oh man, we ought to embrace the promises. I mean, more eagerly and readily even than those that we read of in the Scriptures. Why? Because we have so much more. We have the whole of the Scripture. And this evening, I don't know the specific situation. I don't know the specific promise. But maybe there's a promise that we know in our heart. The Holy Spirit can just kind of put his finger, so to speak, on that thing in our own life. And so, you know, you're not believing me in this situation. Your faith is not what it needs to be. There's a measure of doubt. And will you just believe God? Will you just take God at his word? Will you just prove him and allow God to be exalted and allow God to be magnified? See, that's really the beauty of seeing God fulfill promises, is that he gets the glory. It's not for us to take any level of credit for or recognition of those things that happen, but no, we just see God working, and we see God exalted and God magnified, and we just come to the place where we say, "I believe God. I just believe God. I refuse to believe what the crowd wants to tell us. I refuse to believe what the media wants to tell whoever. I just refuse. Why? Because I just want to believe God. I just want to believe God." And when you come to that place in your life where you just believe God, sometimes people are going to look at you like you're crazy. Because why? Because you have faith in what God has said. And when you have that faith in what God has said, and God is pleased with your faith, with your belief, we find that God will work in amazing ways. This evening, there's a very specific conversation that takes place between Abram and God. I'm thankful that Abram was transparent. Maybe somebody just needs to be transparent with God tonight. "God, I know you said this, but I'm struggling because of, I go childless," right? That's what Abram said. I don't have a son. And whatever the promise is in your life, you say, I just don't know. I don't see it. And we're transparent with God. And we pour our heart out before the Lord. and we let God minister to us, and we let Him take His Word and perhaps lead us to some other portions and passages of Scripture that would just minister to us and help us to just grow our faith. And we'd leave saying, God, I believe You. I just believe You. I don't have to know how. See, sometimes I'm guilty of wanting to know how. I don't know if you are. But a lot of times in my life, I'm guilty of wanting to know how. How's it going to happen? How's it going to come together? Holly can tell you that in the kitchen. She's mixing things together, putting a meal together, and I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to eat that. But then it comes together, and it's great. Our God is amazing at bringing all these things together and working them all together and saying, I'm just going to prove myself. I'm going to show you, my child, what I'm able to do. And all we need to do is just believe Him. Just believe Him. Let's pray. Father, we love You this evening. We thank You so much for loving us. Thank You for this account in Genesis 15 of this discussion between Abram and Yourself. We thank You that You explained Your promise in detail. We thank You for Your clarity. Lord, how we rejoice in the response of Abram. And God, I just pray tonight that You'd help us. I understand the account that is before us is a specific situation for Abram. But God, Your Word is full of promises for us as Your children. And if we'd be honest tonight, there are times in which we stagger at Your promises, that we struggle, that we have doubt, that we fail to exercise faith in what You've said, perhaps even explaining or justifying. But God, I pray tonight that as only You can, You would minister to each of us, challenge us, comfort us, help us, God, to simply believe You, trust You, and obey You. I pray that in these next few moments that the Holy Spirit of God would have His will and way, that decisions would be made that would please Thee, that would cause us to be conformed to the image of Christ and impact eternity. We'll be careful to give Thee glory for all that You'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me this evening?